Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. With us, Ken Lovett of the New York Daily News, who is indisputably, and I've been saying this for many years, the very top journalist who covers New York state politics. And it's always a pleasure to have you on, Ken. So let's talk a little bit about Preet Bharara. Now, this is quite a story, don't you think?
Oh, this was a stunning story. You know, nobody, I think, saw this one coming.
And why didn't we see it coming? Because the lying president of the United States said he was going to reappoint them.
Yeah, no, Donald Trump summoned Preet Bharara after the election to Trump Tower, and Bharara came out and said he was asked to stay on and that he agreed to stay on. He had some big cases still open, certainly involving the mayor of New York City, Bill de Blasio, and of course the Cuomo administration, and he agreed to stay on. Jeff Sessions, the new AG, also asked him to stay on, and then suddenly last week, out of nowhere, the request or the order to submit resignations went out to 46 U.S. attorneys across the country, including Bharara, who said, I'm not going to submit it. You want to get rid of me? Fire me. And they did just that, leading to all sorts of speculation about why.
So I can't figure this out. I have a theory. Tell me if I'm wrong. You may. Maybe those 45 had to go just to cover firing Bharara, who was getting too close to something. Maybe the Russians, maybe some Trump skullduggery. Don't you think that's a possibility?
Well, I don't know if the 45 went just because of that. Certainly it could play a factor. I think, look, it's no secret the Trump administration has been very upset about the leaks that have been coming out from within. And I think they just decided, you know what, we're going to get rid of all these people and try and stem those leaks from happening. But then on the other hand, I agree. I mean, some of the speculation is that Bharara started to investigate the various things into the administration, complaints he's received, which is why he put out a tweet that got a lot of attention, Bharara did after he was fired, saying, now I know how the Mueller Commission felt. And that was not only a poke at Governor Cuomo, who created an anti-corruption commission to look into state government corruption, but then abruptly pulled the plug on it when it was getting too close to him and other things. So, the question is, was Bharara taking a poke at Cuomo? Was he just making a joke? Or was he saying that I was investigating the president and they pulled the plug on me?
Yeah, it could have been any of them or all of them, as a matter of fact. So I guess I want to know, because I've been here in Great Barrington where I'm recuperating from my busted ankle, and I keep hearing from neighboring New York State, run, Preet, run. Do you think he's going to run for political office?
I don't know. I also, before we even get to that, I want to say another theory of what went on. And it could be a little of all these things we're talking about. But Charles Schumer, the U.S. Senator and the new Democratic leader of the Senate, the minority leader, when Trump won, Schumer put out a statement saying, we will work with this president when we can and we'll oppose him when we have to. Trump put out some nice words about Preet at the time. And the thinking was that he reappointed Preet to make nice with Schumer. Preet Bharara used to work for Chuck Schumer. He was his chief counsel in the Senate. He also got his job because of Chuck Schumer. So the feeling was that this was an olive branch to Schumer, as well as Bharara has been doing a good job. So that happens. But since the relationship with Schumer and Trump has gone sour, Schumer's been very critical of him. They've been slowing up their appointments and confirmations. And, they've been raising questions about Russia and other issues. And some people felt that maybe this was Trump sending a message to Schumer, cutting his man. You want to do that? I'll cut your guy. So it could be investigations. It could be that. And then you're right. Now the question is, does he run and what does his future hold?
You are right, my friend. You are absolutely right. That's exactly what I wrote in next week's column. The problem is you can write every day and I have to wait 6 days before my column comes out. Don't you see? Okay. So I guess I want to ask you this. Could Preet Bharara beat Cuomo. We know that a lot of people still don't know who Pete Ferrari is. It's unbelievable, but they don't. And everybody knows the Cuomo name. So could Pete Ferrari actually beat Cuomo in a primary?
You know, it's a really complicated issue, because should he run, if he did decide to run, you know, the establishment isn't a huge fan of Cuomo, but they really hate Barrara. You know, they feel not only has he gone after them, which, you know, everyone says he should do, he should root out corruption, but they feel he's a grandstander. They feel that he's painted them unfairly with a broad brush of all corruption, that the legislature's a cesspool of corruption, which a lot of people would agree with. If he was going to run, he would run as an outsider, as a white knight. I'm going to come in and fix Albany. We've heard this before from Spitzer. We heard it from Cuomo. It's not so easy when you don't
have power. And we heard it from Trump.
Right. But it's not so easy, prosecutors have found, including Spitzer and Cuomo, to clean up this place when you don't have subpoena power. The second part of it is, Cuomo starts with a $22 million head start campaign cash-wise. You know, Pete Ferrara does not have a network of donors. He does not have a campaign operation. Now, maybe he can tap into some of Schumer's network, and that would certainly help. Schumer and Cuomo are certainly not friends, so maybe that's something that could happen. And Cuomo right now is popular. You know, the latest Siena poll showed him at 60%. That said, Barrara, who has a low name recognition, you don't know, though. If he comes in and, you know, talks about the cases, and I put away Dean Skelos, the Senate Majority Leader, and yep. I put away Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver and a host of others, and I've gone after corruption. I didn't pull the plug on the Moreland Commission like the governor did. Maybe that resonates. So it would be an interesting fight. Also can't rule out a possible run for mayor. You know, he's been named for that as well. Bill de Blasio's up for election. I think that's a lot less likely at this point, given we're in March and the election is this November. I also think he'll open himself up to a criticism if he ran for mayor, and even if he ran for governor, and whether this would work or not, I don't know. But the criticism would be, did you go after the governor or the mayor, you know, to weaken them so you can make a political run? Even if the cases have value, he's going to have to defend doing that and then jumping into a race against the people he was trying to prosecute.
So let's parse this for a moment, because I'm fascinated by this. First of all, I think it would be very healthy for democracy if Pete Ferrara ran for governor. And he would get money. He would get a lot of money. Chuck would help him get money. Other people would help him get money. And a lot of people, as you say, he may be popular right now because there's no opposition on Cuomo, but that doesn't mean that he's really popular. For example, upstate New York, a Democratic primary, Zephyr Teach out with nothing. Remember, nothing. Almost beats him completely in the upstate region, right? So that's number one. Number two, there will certainly be people who do know Barrara's work in New York City, for example, like me, admire him, and therefore will vote for him. Upstate New York unified, a good chunk of New York City, he wins the primary.
Yeah, I think there is a pathway if that's what he chose to do. Now, let's also say that Pete Ferrara has said he has no interest in running for electoral office, but they all say that until they announce they're running. But certainly, exactly. He would be a formidable candidate. He would energize a certain base. He would energize the reform base of the Democratic Party. And you know what? Republicans like him, too. Not that they can vote in a primary, but, you know, if he was a general election candidate, Republicans, you know, they wanted him to stay on. They liked the job he did. The one thing we don't know is his politics. We know where he stands on corruption issues, but, you know, he's never been a politician. We don't know where he stands on a lot of stuff. But honestly, given the ethical dilemmas, I'll put it, in Albany, he certainly has the bully pulpit on that, and he can contrast his record to Cuomo on the issue.
And Ken Lovett of the Daily News, everybody's been sitting on pins and needles waiting for the famous trial of some of the closest people to Cuomo to come up. And now Barrara is gone. Clearly he was the general. He may not have been doing the specific prosecuting, but he was the general calling the shots. Now that Barrara is gone, does this help Andrew? And an ancillary question, when asked about this, Andrew says he doesn't pay much attention to
I think that was the most bizarre quote of the week. Andrew Cuomo pays attention to everything, and how you could say you didn't pay attention to Pete Ferrara's firing when it was on the front pages of all the papers, it was national news, to say, oh, I know he was replaced, but I don't really know what was going on, seemed disingenuous at best. Look, I think that Preet Bharara would be tough for him. I think that Andrew Cuomo, I've written this before, that, we keep talking about his reelection next year in 2018, and we keep talking, will he run for president in 2020? But 2017, to me, is going to be a make-or-break year for Cuomo because of these trials. You're right. Even if he's not criminally implicated, and I want to stress he has not been criminally implicated, and even if that continues to be the case, if these trials go on and there's no settlements and his name comes up over and over or he's forced to testify, look what happened across the river in New Jersey with Chris Christie. Look what happened to his numbers from Bridgegate trials, and the Bridgegate scandal, even though he was never criminally implicated. It basically drowned them. And so for Cuomo, he could face the same kind of backlash. Now, Cuomo's lucky about one thing. Right now, Washington politics, Trump and the Republican Congress is sucking all the life and attention out of the political world. All the coverage, all people's attention seems to be on that. So if these trials did happen and we're still getting the same level of Trump mania, I think that would be a benefit for Cuomo because there would be less attention paid to it. But certainly if his numbers are driven down, if he's hurt by these trials, it's a benefit for Bharara if he wanted to get in. It's a benefit for Schneiderman if he wanted to get in, the state attorney general. I think one of two things happens. I think the trials either don't affect Cuomo that much, his numbers stay relatively strong, and he seeks reelection, or they weaken him to a point where he realizes he can't run, and then it opens up the field. But one of those two things, I think, can happen.
Now, that's interesting that you would mention Schneiderman. I think Schneiderman has been doing an excellent job. Nevertheless, I don't know how to put this. He hasn't got the guts to run against Cuomo, does he?
No, that's my point. I don't think Schneiderman gets to a point where Schneiderman would primary Cuomo. I think either he'll look at the numbers and say, you know what, Cuomo's too strong. He's got, by that time, I'll have $30 million in the bank or more. And I think he'll say, I'm going to run for reelection. Or Cuomo's numbers are so low, he's so damaged by these trials and the scandals, that then he puts a little pressure on Cuomo, and Cuomo ends up not running, and Schneiderman has an open field. But I don't see him challenging it. I don't see a one-on-one primary.
I'll give you another one, Ken. What happens now is they take the pulse. Cuomo's numbers go down. Let's say they go down. Preet Bharara, it looks like he's coming in. Schneiderman has been almost governor, AG, waiting for all of this time to run, and he sees Preet Bharara eating his lunch. He says, I'm going to get in too. I got to get into this before Bharara does. He gets into it, and now Cuomo wins because he got two opponents.
Yeah, we're going to see, because I don't know if Schneiderman has the stomach to do something like that.
No, he hasn't got the guts.
I think he needs to see a clear path, or he's going to run for reelection. I just don't see him taking on a case where he could lose and then be out entirely.
That's true. That's true. I have great admiration for what you're saying here, except that the streets are strewn with politicians who decided to wait for the safe time to run, and it never came. They had to have a little guts to do it. Know what I mean?
I don't disagree with you, but you have to have that. And I think Schneiderman's a good politician, but I don't think he wants to get into a bloody battle like that.
Okay, listen, Ken Lovett of the Daily News. So let me ask you about the Republicans. Now, the Republicans have to run somebody against Cuomo. And I had a wonderful conversation with Ed Cox, who is a brilliant raconteur, and asking him who they got. I said, come on, who you got? And then he starts to talk about Rob Astorino and this. And I said, come on, it's the same old, same old. But they've got a list of people, and I think what they're always looking for, those Republicans, is somebody who can self-finance a campaign, because they sure can't come up with the money to run against this guy, who, as you know, is a bit of a bully and doesn't forget when somebody opposes him. So don't you see who they got?
Right now, Astorino is probably the leading guy. He ran in 2014. He lost. He did better than a lot of people thought. He got 41 or 42% of the vote. However, I would say a little bit of that's deceiving, because he got 42% of the vote, which was very good for a Republican right now, and at least in recent years. However, raw vote, He got the same total as Carl Palladino in 2010. Palladino only got about a third of the overall vote. And the reason Astorino did better was because a million fewer people turned out to the polls in 2014 than they did in 2010.
Interesting.
And Cuomo got a million fewer votes. So it seemed like it was all, you know, basically people just didn't show up for Cuomo. But, you know, the Republican base showed up for Astorino. The county chairs like him. They feel he handled himself well the last time. And look, you know, they'll point to what he did in Westchester County, which is a Democratic county, where he ran for county executive. He lost, and then he ran 4 years later and won, and now he's running for a third term. The other guy you have is a guy named Harry Wilson. He's a business turnaround expert. He would be
I want to talk about him because I've been talking to those Wascally Republicans, and many of them really like this guy, Harry Wilson. Everybody's wild in the Republican Party about Harry, and they like him because he, as you say, suggests he's got some money, he could do it, he could run, but nobody, but I mean nobody knows who this guy is.
No, you know, he ran for comptroller in 2010 against Tom DiNapoli. I think he lost by about 5 points, which, so, you know, he did better than a lot of people thought he would. He spent a couple million dollars of his own money.
But only because Andrew Cuomo was sticking a knife in DiNapoli's back. I think
right.
that's what did it.
And yeah, I mean, DiNapoli also had the unions, which pulled him over the finish line. But Wilson, you know, he comes across well. He's a business turnaround expert. He was picked by President Obama to serve on the task force to help save the car industry. He's done a lot of different things. He's been out there. He's been running around all across the state talking to Republican committees. He says he'll decide sometime in the fall, probably this fall, whether or not to take the plunge. I think it's 50-50. I think he'd like to, but I think he wants to survey the ground. Again, there's a path to beat Cuomo if he is indeed the candidate next year. But for the Republicans, it's a harder path because, look, even with Trump, as popular as he was nationally or even in segments of New York, he only got 35% of the vote. It's increasingly more difficult for the Republicans. And even if you win most of upstate, you know, the key is you have to do at least respectable in New York City, which they have not been doing, and you have to do well in the suburbs. And, you know, Cuomo beat Astorino in his home county of Westchester. So I think it's still an uphill battle for the Republicans, but certainly depending where Cuomo's numbers are or if it's an open seat, I think they feel more encouraged than they've had in a long time.
Okay, I want to go through a number of others really quickly. One of my great heroes, as far as I'm concerned, a woman with tremendous guts, is Syracuse Mayor Stephanie Miner. She's taken on Cuomo when she didn't have to. She's been terrific in terms of holding her own, and it's not an easy thing for a mayor of a city to do. There's some talk she might run against them in a primary.
Yeah, I could see her running, although I doubt she will, but certainly if she did, I think she would get the same 35-40% that his effort teach out got. I don't know what her fundraising operation is. She would definitely have the liberal wing in the party. And look, you know, Hillary Clinton, you know, Bernie Sanders got a big percentage of the vote here in New York. You know, if you're a reform candidate or a liberal candidate, there's a good chance in a Democratic primary that you can get 35-40% of the vote. I think she would be in that category. I don't know if it's enough to beat her, but I'll tell you what, you talk about guts. She not only took on Cuomo, but she took on Cuomo when she was his handpicked co-chair of the Democratic Party. She came out against some of his budget policies. And, you know, that takes guts. And needless to say, she's not his handpicked co-chair of the Democratic Party anymore. But she doesn't care. She stuck up for what she believed in.
Yeah, you got to have a lot of admiration for somebody like that. John J. Flanagan, I believe it's Jay Flanagan, the Senate Majority Leader, is also being speculated against about as a Republican opponent for Cuomo. But that's a bunch of nonsense, right? He hasn't got the guts either.
Well, and I think it would be extremely difficult. I'm not saying impossible, but it would be extremely difficult for Flanagan to win a Republican primary based on the fact that by himself, based on one vote alone, he voted for the SAFE Act, Andrew Cuomo's gun control law back in, 2013. And, you know, that in itself would make him a dead on arrival candidate for a lot of Republicans, particularly upstate.
As well as coming out of the legislature, which, of course, is not enjoying a tremendous reputation. So let's go to healthcare. I got to know about this. There's a healthcare bill coming up. Everybody knows it'll kill New Yorkers and state insurance costs and Medicare, and the hospitals are really alarmed about it. So does that hurt congressional candidates who are Republican in New York State who are clearly going to vote for this plan?
I'm not sure they're clearly a lot of, not all of them are going to clearly vote for it. I think there's a lot of backlash in Congress, and now, you know, they came out that something like 24 million Americans would lose insurance coverage under this, and you're going to have more moderate Republicans and other Republicans who are fearful of this who will not vote for it, which is funny because you have the moderate Republicans who think it goes too far, and then you have the conservative Republicans who don't think it goes far enough. So the chances of this passing, I think, are I don't think many people think it will pass, but certainly it puts them in a in more of a contentious position, or more of a dangerous position, depending where they come out on this.
So, Ken Lovett, if you have $5, would you please, I guarantee you I will put up an equal amount and put it in an envelope and mark, bet on whether the Republican health care plan passes with the votes of Republicans in New York State, except, you know, in the ones like, for example, John Faso, which are going to be very, very closely contested. If he wanted to, they might let him off the hook. I don't think he wants to. I bet they're all going to vote for it.
I don't think it's going to pass. I don't think it's going to pass, not as is, but we'll see. I mean, I think it's going to be a very contentious battle, and I think, like I said, it's going to put the New York Republicans in an awkward spot, especially in swing districts where, you know, where it's close. What do you do? Because you got to get through a primary, and, you know, the primary voters of the Republicans, especially upstate, are likely going to support this kind of proposal. But then, you know, the general election candidates, it makes you more vulnerable if there are a lot of Democrats in your district.
It does look like Governor Cuomo is now in his trading mode. Before, he was trading ethics reform for a pay raise for these guys. Now it seems he's trading for an on-time budget. But I think that they may be shooting themselves in their own heel by suggesting that he won't have an on-time budget because they're so angry at him for not giving him a pay raise last year.
Yeah, I think that would look petty, and, you know, but they're not up for election until next year.
Well, they are.
So, you know, I think that's their calculation, but it's gotten ugly. Look, there's no doubt that there was a lot of, there was a very deep wound. And you know, I can look at two things during Cuomo's tenure, the creation of the Moreland Commission, which the legislature really, really disliked, and, you know, they thought he was targeting them, and he was interfering with them, which he was. And then these are the two biggest things that have soured his relationship with the legislature. They thought they had a deal with him for a pay raise last year, and they feel he reneged because in 2015 they agreed to a pay raise commission to take, quote unquote, the politics out of it in exchange for some ethics reforms. But then last year, after Joe Prococo, Cuomo's top aide, and eight other associates were criminally charged in the Barrara probes, the governor said, we need more ethics reform, or I don't think you should get a pay raise. And they feel he reneged on their deal, and they were livid. And, you know, they were trying to get over it. And then last week, out of the blue, Cuomo's former chief of staff, a guy named Larry Schwartz, writes an online op-ed basically saying that they're going to jeopardize their chance at a pay raise next year if they make the budget late. And they were livid again. And they feel like with 2 weeks to go with the budget, why are you needlessly, you know, throwing in a pay raise that's not an issue this year and provoking the legislature, almost daring them to retaliate?
So you made a comment. I just want to make sure I got this right, that Trump had sucked the air out of all state politics. People don't know about it. But now you're writing for the Daily News. You're doing a terrific job. Does anybody care about state government?
For my own purpose, I hope so. People who listen to this show, I hope so. But, you know, it is. It's
everybody
harder
loves
to break
you.
Through the noise. It's harder to break through the noise.
Well, our guest has been Ken Lovett of the New York Daily News. He is our hero here at WAMC because from the very beginning, we've recognized when he was a young man what his potential was, and now we know what he's been able to do. Ken Lovett, we all respect you, and thank you so much for joining us.
I very much appreciate it. Thank you.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.